Blog Talk Radio.
Turn your light down low. And pull your window curtain. Oh, let the moon come shining in into our life again. Yeah. Ooh, it's been a long, long time. I get this message for you, girl, but it seems I was never on time. Still I wanna get through to you, girl, on time, on time.
I want to give you some love.
Turn your lights down low. This is Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Hope everybody's having a nice Friday. It's been raining here, but it's all good. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Rhea. Good evening, darling. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How did your vacation go?
Oh, the vacation was wonderful, wonderful, and the wedding was just, oh my God, it was one of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen.
Oh my goodness, I saw pictures of it on Facebook. It looked like
the vows, or the way the ceremony was conducted
mm-hmm.
by that particular minister was, because
mm-hmm.
she knows. She knew the bride personally, and I think that
mm-hmm.
that's her, you know, her minister she grew up with. I mean, it was just so, it was more conversationalist as opposed
mm-hmm.
to just, you know, the routine bow, bow, bow. It was beautiful.
Right.
It was really beautiful.
Was that on a beach or where was it at? Because
yeah.
it looked like
yeah.
a...
Yes, that
oh,
was the Atlantic
okay.
Ocean behind it. It was on the beach of the hotel of the resort that we were at. And it was being done just as, you know, it was, it wasn't getting dark yet, but it was overcast anyway. So you had that additional glow of that, you know. Oh, it was like, wow. I was just sitting there. I was amazed. It was beautiful. And the couple is just fantastic. It's like, what? Seeing them together, it's just, I love it. I met him when I got there that Wednesday, and I think he's just the most adorable thing I ever met. It's wonderful. And seeing them with each other is really, really, it's yeah. My heart was really, really big.
Wow. I know she was just so excited.
I'm sure she's extremely glad that it's like over with, because I'm sure it's so stressful. But she just had the biggest smile. And then when she, it's like just to that whole little, that whole, not little, but that whole thing, that aura, it was live and kicking. And then afterwards, as the reception was starting, once they entered, and they took them to their table, I made my way over to the table, mainly because they were sitting behind me, and I said something, and he stood up. So I came around, and I think I started where everybody started hugging them. But it was like, wow. It was good. It was good. It was funny because she posted a picture today, and she tagged me in it. And all I could think of, God, please don't tell me she got a picture of me trying to do the hustle. Because, girl, I didn't want to dance, right? So I told them, I said, and I'm picking something that I know they don't know, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, y'all play the hustle, I'll get out there and dance. Girl, I'm like, no, they didn't. And I can remember one of the steps, and all I could think was, Lord, please don't tell me she got a picture of me trying to do the hustle on that dance floor. No. And I couldn't wait till I got to my computer to see what picture did she post. I'm like, woo.
Well, I am so glad that you had a good time,
good.
And I just, you know, I'm just so happy for Boy Elizabeth, and you know,
actually,
wish her many.
I think she's listening.
Oh, I did. I saw her in the chat room. So Elizabeth, congratulations again, and you know, hopefully, you know, it'll be till God decides what, you know, the end for you guys.
Exactly.
And yeah, because it's just so many other crazy things going on, you know, and you guys are blessed, you know, to be together and stay together and, you know, look out for each other and don't worry about what other people got to say or things like that, you know, just be true to each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have a pretty good show tonight, Rhea. Michael Hayes is a poet, and he's on Facebook. This is how I come about to meet him.
Okay.
And we also have a guest co-host, Ms. Kim Purdue Sims.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read a little bit of Michael Hayes' bio. He was born in Kingston, Jamaica. Michael Hayes first began writing in 1999. Poetry became a way for him to express his emotions about the world around him. In 2006, Michael was struck with a tragic event. His three-month-old daughter and fiancé were killed at the hands of a drunk driver. Working through his pain, Michael felt the need to let the world know what real love needed to be, understanding the emotions of love. While dealing with the emotions of his loss of his family, Michael began working on his first book, Poems in a Heart. After the release of this deep and soulful book, Michael expanded his horizons. He shared his experience of life and love as a guest speaker at various events and functions. With the birth of his second book, Romantic Nights, Michael felt the need to take us deeper with his poetry and bring down the lights to explore the connection between two hearts bounded in love. Once your senses experience the taste, touch and sounds of Michael's Writer of Love, Hayes, you will never see love the same way again. And I, you know, since seeing him, you know, posting different little poems on Facebook, it's, you know, they're very heart-touching and very warm and sensual and just, you know, make you want to cuddle up. And, yeah, they certainly do. And I have a few here that he sent me. I'm going to get him also to read. And so in the meantime, I'm going to bring him on as well as our guest co-host, Ms. Kim Purdue Sims. I'm going to bring Michael on. Hello, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing good.
Good. Hello, Kim.
Yes. Hi, Gail.
How are you? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm just thrilled. I am totally thrilled. So, Michael, your first book, Poems in a Heart, your very first poem that you put in that book, what was going through your mind and what was that first poem?
Well, actually, what was going through my mind when I put the Poems in a Heart out in the first poem, I just wanted to pretty much express the depths of love, you know what I mean? Pretty much showing, you know, the sensual side, but at the same time, love, you know, devoted emotions, you know what I mean? I wanted all aspects with just a few lines, you know what I mean? So so pretty much like a taste before the full meal, you know?
Yeah.
A taste before the full meal. But I don't want to put everything on the table just yet. I want to give a taste.
Right. Well, you definitely give tastes over there on Facebook. You most definitely do. So, you're from Kingston, Jamaica.
Yes.
Now, how long have you been in the
How long have I been here?
Are you,
Altogether, I've been here 10 years.
What made you come to the States? Right, what made you come to the States?
To be honest, all the violence in Kingston. I'm from a part in Tivoli Gardens, and it's nothing but violence. You know, everybody show what, you know, the man jumping off the mountain into the blue water, you know, that's cool and everything, but, you know, it's other sides of Jamaica, like any other place you go.
Right.
Pretty much I found that, you know, leaving Jamaica, I probably have a better, well, I do have a better chance of making my dreams come true. Also, you know, I have some sick family members that I wanted to be closer to because, you know, it seemed that death was knocking on them door and I didn't want to be all the way over in Jamaica and them in the States and, you know, I missed the opportunity to see them eyes open once more.
Oh, okay. So you do have family that's here before you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So when you came to the States, was what state did you come to first?
Miami.
Miami, okay.
Yeah, I'm in London, Miami.
Okay, so you migrated to where after leaving Miami?
After Miami, I moved to North Carolina. After North Carolina, you know, I've been bouncing back and forth, you know.
But you do find that it's much better being here opposed to being in Kingston, Jamaica.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In all aspects, you know. In all aspects.
Okay, so I know that, you know, like you said, they show the people jumping off of the mountains into the pretty blue water. Was there anywhere else over there that you could go, or you just rather just leave it all together?
I mean, it were better places, you know, other than Kingston. You know, we have Orchardos, we have Montego Bay, we have Portmore, we have, you know, Spanish Town, we had other places. But, you know, I felt that, you know, the doors... it's almost like a door was open, but I could not step my foot inside. All I can see is a little crack open. And I felt that if I stay in Jamaica, I would be resulting in doing things in my life that God knows that I did not want to do to survive, to feed my family, to feed myself. You know what I mean? To do things right, I felt that I had to move. I had to leave Jamaica. Jamaica's always going to be my heart. Jamaica's always going to be my home. You know, but at the same time, like other Yardies, we, you know, we feel that our dreams will come true if we leave Jamaica.
Okay, I see. I see. So, you was this the only child you had, this 3-month-old daughter?
Yeah.
Did you have other children?
No, that's my first and only. No other children.
Well, what happened? Did that happen in Jamaica or it happened here?
That happened in Miami.
Oh, in Miami.
That happened in Miami. Yeah, I to touch bases with it a little bit. We were supposed to go to a cookout, and you know, I remember putting my daughter in a car seat, and I told my daughter I love you, told my fiance I love you, and you know, she left to go get her hair done. And I went to the cookout, and I call her phone, you know, ask her, you know, trying to figure out where she at, and she no answer phone. I call again, she no answer, and 15 minutes later, her mother called me and told me to come to Jackson Memorial Hospital. I get her to the hospital. I step off the elevator at 12:50, and her mother at the other end of the hallway, and she ran to me and say, Michael, I say, where's Kim? You know, that was her name. I say, where's my fiance? She said, Michael, I'm sorry, she died at 12:40. So I say, all right, you know, I just lost it. But then I say, where's my daughter? Where's my daughter? Where's my daughter? And she said, Michael, I'm sorry, she died at 12:45. So, you know, and the bad thing about it, the drunk driver, no scar, no cuts, no bruises on the man or nothing.
Right, that's generally how it happens when you have a drunk driver. They never get hurt, you know.
Yeah.
It just seems that way, that the other people that they hit are generally the ones that are affected by the accident, opposed to the drunk driver. They generally walk away sometime with a scratch or nothing, you know.
Exactly.
Well, did he get arrested or anything? Was he
prosecuted? Yeah, he was prosecuted, arrested, and, you know, I don't want to jump subjects, but, you know, the judicial system is really funny, you know what I mean?
Right.
He got locked up in 2006. Believe it or not, in 2013, he can get out.
Wow, that is just so sad. You know, and like you said, the judicial system is really messed up, messed up. And I guess they blame it because of the fact he was drinking and driving. You know, they have those different laws. But if you kill somebody when you are drinking and driving, you should be held accountable for that because it's out there not to drink and drive.
Exactly.
Yeah, so on a better note, and then that's when you came up with to, you know, deal with your pain, writing about love and, you know, just getting all those things behind you.
Yeah. I found me security and me peace in poetry, you know, writing about love, relationships, you know, devotion, you know, just the way a man supposed to treat a woman. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I can recall going to a place and a man say, man, you know, you're messing up things for us. And I'm like, how am I messing up things? You're messing up things for the players. No, I'm not messing up things for the players. I'm messing up things for the men who don't want to be men. You know what I mean?
Right.
Be a man, take care of your queen. You call a woman a queen, treat her like a queen. You know?
Yeah.
And I try to explain some men, you know, a queen don't want a king that can't take care of a castle, you know what I mean? So do what you need to do. You don't have to worry about, you know, that woman calling you this and you know, you plan these type of games. And I try to tell these women, you know, don't give your body up so soon, you know what I mean? Check these men out. Find out about them, you know what I mean? See where their heart is at. You know, like I say, you're not going to let someone, you're not going to buy a brand new house. You know what I mean? Buy all this expensive stuff in your house and give a stranger a key to your house and let him go in there. You don't know, he can go in there and tear everything up. If you wouldn't give a stranger a key to your house, don't let him give a key to your heart.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing.
So how long exactly have you been writing poetry?
Wow. I would say probably been writing poetry for about 15 years. About 15 years.
Have you ever thought of writing a story, maybe about your life or a story about?
I've thought about it, you know, and I have a few other things other than poetry in the works. I have thought about it. But, you know, I'm just like, if I do write something, it's going to be a full-blown novel with bits and pieces of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I thought about that, but then, like you see, I thought about just writing a whole story about my life. You know, that's a book I can put a lot of ink on some pages.
Yeah,
but,
yes, you can.
but yeah, I thought about it.
Wow. So, I have a poem here that I'm going to read. This is like that. Now, what book is this out of? Is this out of Poems in the Heart or
Romantic Nights?
Okay.
It's Romantic Nights.
Okay, I'm going to read this now. I hope don't anybody have to go take a quick shower, quick cold shower. But woo! Okay, here it is, and it's title is Like That. Okay, with your legs in the air or tight around my waist, I'm getting a little thirsty. So may I have a taste, not what you have there, but what you have here. I can break things down just to make myself clear. Let's start with some kissing, moving to the bed. Face plant, take that, with my head between your legs. Holding your legs tight so nowhere to run. Knock on the door of your clit and demand that you come. Sit back, kick back, your hands on my six-pack. Don't need a break, so I'm not looking for a Kit Kat. Let's slow down, hon. Let me lay between your legs and put it all inside, as it may be a lot, so it will be hard to hide. What I'm trying to see or what I'm trying to do, the expression on your face as I give it to you. Start off slow and then a little slower. Hold you by your waist as I gently turn you over. On top from the back, so just watch me spinning. I don't have to stand up just to stand up in it. Now let's bring it back as we start to rise. Let you get on top and roll back your eyes. You'll push back and let me pull. Tonight is the night you ride the bull. Let your hands get tighter around my skin. I got a lot more to do, so let's do it again.
Yeah, man.
Woo.
All right.
All righty then. Kim. What do you think of Mike's poetry? Does it sort of like make you want to, you know, just go to another place and just feel so. It just makes you feel good.
Oh, it makes you feel more than just good.
All right.
All right now.
I think.
All right, as Wendy Williams would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think his poetry goes beyond the bedroom. I think he speaks to your heart. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's just the way you would interpret his poetry, you know. Mm-hmm. But it does get you a little hot and bothered now. I have to admit that.
Yes.
It's almost like foreplay.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that I really, you know, like about poetry like this. If you're, you know, because I could, you know, just see him reading this, you know, if it was my man and him reading this to me, I'm going to be like, oh, you know, because I am a sucker. I'm telling you, I am a sucker for poetry, spoken word artists and erotic poetry, sensual poetry. You know, it's just something about those words, the way they say them, and, you know, just how they roll off their tongue, and, you know, just how it just gets to you, what gets to me. Yeah, and... you know, even the titles are really significant. Pure and Sleep With Me. I'm not going to, you know, read these right now because I want Michael to read some poems as well for us. And, you know, sort of like get us in the mood. But first we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back, okay?
Okay. Alicia Keys, Like You'll Never See Me Again. Okay, we're back, and I'm on here with my co-host, Rhea, and my guest co-host, Kim Purdue Sims.
and our special guest, Michael Hayes. So let's get Michael to read us a nice poem from his book.
All right. Now, Gail, the ones you have, the poems mm-hmm. that I sent you, I don't have those in my possession, but I have two that, you know, I think that the public will like.
Oh, don't worry about these, because I'll read these. you just read what you got. Okay.
All right. All right. Let's see. The first one we're going to read is called Knees to Fill. Allow me to show you the feelings a man is supposed to make a woman feel. Security in all aspects to assure her that my love is real. Every day, 8 hours seem far too long. Hate to go to work, but can't wait to come home. To the man she chose to have in her life. Gives her love 24 hours, morning, noon, and night. And changing the sheets all the time, that's if you're doing it right. Stressing your day, back rubs with lotion. With my love, you don't need a potion. And at times we kiss, we just move in slow motion. If my love was liquid, I could refill the ocean. Undivided attention, now that's devotion. That's how I feel the love that runs through my veins. And if I was a mute, I could still call out her name. Some say you're less of a man if you're cooking clean. Well, I'll be that, so I guess I'm a king. But who would I be without my queen? Just to be a man living life a lie in a broken dream. Kiss you, lick you, never ever hit you. And when you're feeling low, strong arms to uplift you. Hold you in my arms, your chest on mine. Two different heartbeats will beat on one line. My love is only yours and not for Elise. You have ownership of my heart and my love will never cease.
Mine and Cheryl said meow.
Oh, finger licking good.
Rhea? You all right over there, Rhea?
I got to turn on the AC.
Wow. And you know, what's really so good about your poetry is the words that you're saying in them, you know, that are so tender and so meaningful and so just delicious.
Well, I know you enjoy saying
that.
Like
it's delicious.
I've got me blushing over here.
Now, what inspired you to write that poem and sort of like break it down for us?
Really, I hear a lot of men, you know, talk about, well, I hear a lot of women and a lot of men say, you know, the man don't treat him right, or, you know, I hear men say that, you know, can't find a good woman, you know, well, this is what you need to do. This is what a woman needs to feel, you know, 24 hours, you know. I pretty much got my inspiration from reality. You know, everybody wants the relationship, but everybody don't want to go through the steps of having that powerful relationship. Pretty much with a lot of things that I want to share. You know what I mean? Feelings and emotions that I long to give for that woman. You know, and that's where a lot of my poetry comes from. You know, feelings that I want to give to that special woman. You know, where she don't have to worry about going out, you know, paying $50 an hour to get a massage when she got a licensed masseuse at home. You know what I mean? Where she don't have to worry about going to, you know, a restaurant when she got a full cook at the house. You know, when she got a man that'll sit down and watch a good movie with her, not trying to get some. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, a man that'll lay in the bed and cuddle, you know. That's real man stuff. Everybody, you know, all these men out here, they want to be hardcore. I don't do that. Well, if you don't do that, you don't want the real woman.
Right.
You know?
Right. And that separates well, I'm just going to speak of you, that separates you from a lot of the men out here who, you know, just want to be with women solely for sex or whatever they can get out of a woman. But you go to for the woman's heart and what you can give her, you know, and what you can, what she's going to automatically give you in return, because you're giving her what she wants.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't, you know, and that's one thing that I don't believe in. I don't believe in, you know, the F word. I don't believe in sex. You know, when we get together, we're going to make love. You know what I mean? We're going to bring the stars down to heaven. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the type of thing that that I write about. You know?
No, that's right. And see, there is a difference when you're sexing somebody and making love to somebody as well.
Absolutely.
And when the person knows the difference, then they could, you know, be appreciated more. Because a lot of women mistake sex for love.
Yes. Yes.
And there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is really something. I'm, you know, I just wish that I just wish that one day
what you wish
I could
deal?
Find you know, I mean, to, you know, to actually, you know, talk to a man who feels this way about women, you know, their well-being and their welfare and their emotions and their feelings and, you know, wanting to, you know, give to this woman and be about this woman. You know, it's kind of hard these days to find men like that, because most of the men are basically out here for themselves. What can they get from this woman? What can this woman do for them? And, you know, almost as if they're pimping women, you know, opposed to loving them and, you know, taking care of them and, you know, respecting them and, you know, being kind to them. It's not like that with so many men, you know, and to hear a man actually confess to wanting to give his all to a woman and how he feels about a woman, you know, expressing himself, bringing those emotions out, because men, some men are not even, you know, they hide their emotions, but for a man to show his emotions and to talk about his emotions and to be about his emotions, that's a real man. That's the kind of man that I would really appreciate, you know, because men, for some reason, they don't want to show their real feelings. They'll go back and tell their boys, well, you know, I think I love her, but, you know, I ain't too sure. But, you know, she this and she that. You know, go on and love that woman and care for that woman. You know, don't be shy, you know, because if she love and care for you, what's wrong with you loving and caring for her?
Absolutely.
You know, but you don't have those kind of men out here. And I'm quite sure that when you and your fiancé were together, I'm quite sure she was a happy person.
Yes, yes. I can't speak for her. I mean, so that every morning she wakes, she got a smile on her face, and every night she goes to sleep, she got a smile on her face.
Mm-hmm.
I made sure that not only a smile on her face, a smile on her heart, you know. A smile
right
in
the
heart.
Right. Make that heart smile as well.
Yes,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to read this next poem. It's called Sleep With Me. Okay.
All right.
Close your eyes and be taken away from the things that I do and the things that I say. You can climb right in as I pull back the sheets. No need for the furnace. I'll be making the heat. Let my arms wrap around you as I hold you tight, placing kisses on your skin, baby, all through the night. Sleep, my love. It is time to relax. Let the thoughts of the day be pushed to the back. With the storm coming, there is no need to worry. And just to help you sleep, here's a bedtime story. But this is the time and the place to be, deep within a trance as you sleep with me. Wow, and this is basically about laying down with your woman, sleeping, not sexually, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right.
You know, that poem right there, I'll be having T-shirts when the book is available. I'll be having T-shirts, so that form you just read will be on the T-shirts, like a you know, like the long T-shirts, you know, female mm-hmm. sleeping at night.
Oh, wow. Well, please keep me abreast when those T-shirts come out. Yeah, this is really nice, you know, because you can, you know, be with someone and not have sex with them and, you know, still love them. You can hold them, cuddle them, kiss them. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be about sex all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it does not have to be about sex all the time.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Right. So your first book, did you self-publish your books or do you have a publisher?
The first book I self-published, and the second mm-hmm. one, well, the first book I went to Author House. But Romantic Nights, I'm going, you know, I'm doing everything myself. You know, I'll be doing everything myself. You know, I felt that self-publishing is better. Well, no, I'm
right.
not going to say better because, you know, I'm going to have a lot of friends like, why you say self-publishing is better? But self-publishing is not better. It's just an option that I'm, you know, that I feel would be better for this book.
Mm-hmm. Well, what made you feel it was better to have the first book published by Author House opposed to having this one done yourself?
To tell you the truth, with Poems in the Art, I rushed. You know, I it was my first book. My excitement was high. You know, I was new to, you know, to publishing, and I just went with the first company me see.
Oh, okay.
You know, I did no research, no background, and I do nothing like that, but I rushed, pretty much. I rushed it.
Right, and when you rush, you can make mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to do your research, which my first book was, well, all my books were through a publisher. And I think, you know, I'm going to do a few books on my own this time.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, there are advantages of having a publisher and there are advantages of not having a publisher. It just depends on how the author wants to go. And at that particular time, by being my first book, I was really excited and was turned on to a publisher because I didn't know, you know, what I was going to do after I finished the book because I'd written, you know, different little short stories and let my peers read them, let people read them and got, you know, praise and all that about that. And what I was going to do was just let people read it opposed to having it published. And I've met a young lady on Facebook who had turned me on to the publisher that I had. And, you know, looking back over it, you know, you always should do your research,
yeah.
regardless to what someone comes to you and say, do this, do that. Do your own research so you won't have any, you know, anything you may regret later on somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
But in the process of working with Author's House, didn't you learn probably a substantial amount which made you go the direction you're going now?
Say that again.
Through the process of working with publishing your book through Author House,
mm-hmm.
didn't you learn a lot of things that probably pushed you to go in the direction that you're choosing to go now?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, dealing with Author House, you know, I learned the do's and the don'ts. You know, I learned a whole lot. You know, and you know, I'm not downing Author House. But mm-hmm. I want to thank Author House for showing me the direction I need to go.
Right.
You know,
right.
I do want to thank them for showing me the direction I need to go. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it showed me a lot. It showed me that, you know, there are some good people in the writing world. There are some bad people in the writing world. You know, there are some people that will, you know, sweet talk you for the moment. But when you turn, you know, you may have a knife in your back. And there are some people that will take the knife out of your back. You know what I mean? So I'm not downing Author House. Anybody that's with Author House, you know, it is a good company. But like I see, I did not do my research for the book that I released, you know. So yeah, it showed me what to do. It showed me what to do with the book I'm about to release. It showed me what to do with, you know, my other books that I have coming, you know, so it taught me a whole lot.
Well, I know several people, several authors who have went through, whether it was Arthur's House, Arthur's Den, it's several of the different entities. And in the process, they learned, just like you said, the to-dos and the not-to-dos. And
yeah.
Then you end up going the best route for you, for what you
exactly.
want to achieve. And that's why you probably have that mentality that you have now of doing your research.
Yes. And
that's
you know,
probably in the process. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say to all, you know, all up and coming authors, all you know, starters, please do your research. You know, because you put all your work into something and. Next thing you know, you're wondering why you're not getting anything returned.
Yeah.
So do all your research. You know that I'm just gonna say that, and you know just do your research, do your homework.
Right, because it was a learning process for me. Because when you know me being in the literary world, it's been like a roller coaster ride for me. But
yeah.
I'm glad that along the way I learned. You know, from different things and, you know what to look out for the next time. And for me to be out here on my own is something that I'm basically really looking forward to.
Yeah.
You know, just like when you went in and, you know, you coming out, you're going to do your own thing. But, you know, it was a learning experience for me, and I'm not trying to take anything away from that. But, you know, it's just like anything else, a 9-to-5 job, you have people that are jealous of you and people who don't want to see you succeed. You have the backstabbers and people who, you know, are constantly trying to pull your name through the mud and all these other kind of things. I learned that, you know, being in the literary world is cutthroat.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful and if you're not sincere and passionate about what you're doing, people can chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so you have to have your guards up, and you have to be surrounded by people who are more interested in, you know, helping you opposed to being a hindrance to you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? If you have somebody that's, you know, genuine about helping you and is interested in, you know, seeing you be successful, then, you know, you can do things. But when you have people who want to see you fail and will do anything to make sure you fail. You know, a lot of people's dreams go up in smoke.
Yeah, that's true.
But see, right, but I'm, you know, what, like, you take your experiences and you work with them, you know, and you can always turn a negative into a positive.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
That's how I'm looking at it, because any negative things come my way, I'm going to definitely turn them into a positive.
Absolutely. You
one
know,
way
I,
or the other.
I was always taught when your earth is upturned, when your ground is grinded up, that's a better chance for you to go out there and plant new seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know what
that
I mean?
True.
That's a better chance for you to go out there and plant new seeds, because you didn't allow someone to come out there and till your yard. All right, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, you're not getting paid for that, you know, because, you know, you till my yard without me asking you. So I'm going to go out here and plant some more seeds, you know. But then when you come back, you're not going to be able to get in because I got a fence around me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's pretty much you, like you say, you learn from your mistakes, and those mistakes, you know, you'll see them coming next time.
Yeah.
You know, when you catch that wolf in that sheep's clothing, the first time, you have a better chance to see them from a distance the next time.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them.
You got wolves in sheep's clothing. You got donkeys in sheep's clothing. You got mongoose. You got them all in sheep's clothing, but you know, but you got to deal with it, you know. I got to deal with it.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. But you know, I'm really happy for you, and you know, wish you the best, and you know, everything that you do, because, you know, you're a determined person.
Thank you. You're
very passionate. You know, I know that simply from the way you, your writings speak for themselves, you know, and I really enjoy that, and I'm quite sure anybody else who reads your poetry and people who know you know that you are a passionate, determined person, and you are going to go somewhere with this, and, you know, it's just good that, you know, you feel the way that you feel, you know, and putting this on paper.
Yes, yes.
On that note,
you know,
tell us where we can get your book or books from.
All right, my first book, Poems in a Heart, you can go to www.authorhouse.com. Type in Michael Hayes' Poems in a Heart. As far as Romantic Nights, that will be released in October 2011. As far as a release date has not been set yet, but it will be available in October. I will be posting it on my Facebook page. I also have a fan page on Facebook. It's Writer of Loves, W-R-I-T-E-R.
I've already friended it.
Oh, you are ahead of me?
Right. What is it? Right to what?
Say that again.
It's Right to What? Your fan page is what?
Writer of Loves.
Writer of Loves.
Yeah, Writer of Loves, Romantic Nights. And I'll be updating, posting different things. And let me see, my website is www.wix.com/writer of love/mhaze.
Okay, that's www.wix.
W-I-X.
.com.
Slash. Writer of Love. / M. Hayes.
Okay, I'm going to put all this in the chat room. Okay, so. Okay, would you like to read us another poem while I'm putting you all this stuff in the chat room?
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
Okay.
This one is called Real Love. All right. Treating you like a queen will always be my duty. Put diamonds in your bath water just to illuminate your beauty. I will always treat you with respect and to never walk away when we are upset. I will always keep your hands locked in mine. And I love written in stone to be locked in time. I will never leave you to fight on your own. I'll handle the situation, you just make it home. Walks on the beach or walks in the park, but you never have to worry about my footprints on your heart. I know you may have heard these words before or maybe even seen it, but look into my eyes and you will see that I mean it. I love you and I will show you 24/7. You are an angel, that's how I know you are sent from heaven. These words I share to you is to show how much I love and truly care for you. Let me be your king, and you will be my queen. Let's make something a reality that was once a dream. I know it was nothing but love when God formed your frame. Put your head on my chest and listen to my heart as it spells out your name. Not only have you brought me laughter, you have brought me smiles. A feeling of joy that can be extended for miles. You have made my heart warm, you have kept my heart safe. The feelings you give to me can never be replaced. You have never made me fear, for I feel everything is true. You have given me your heart, and I will do the same for you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Let me turn this AC up.
That is really something. I mean, it's just, they're just so heartfelt.
That's what I love about them.
They are very heartfelt.
Mr. Hayes.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about doing a CD of yourself and your poetry?
That's funny you say that because the CD will be available in October.
Very good.
The CD, Romantic Night CD, will be available in October, you know. I'm going to read all the poems, you know. I'll have all the poems on there that's in the book on the CD.
Wow. Very
good. So,
someone in the chat room, Miss Kane, says she loves your accent and your poetry.
I learned. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's the CD. It just adds a little, it adds more to the poetry.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Wow. Let's see. What else would I? Okay, I'm going to read this last poem that you sent me.
All right.
And it's called Pure. Like the brush on the canvas or the mist from the waves, my love is written in stone. You can take the words from the page. My body is only open to the love you give. Forever within my soul, my heart is where you live. Deep within my eyes, there's a reflection of you that sends messages to my brain with no need to dial, and then returns a vision on my face that you see as a smile. Your lips are as of honey, your skin as of silk. Like the coconut from the tree, I'll protect your milk. If my heart was a star, I would be the star of the north. So every time you feel lost, you can look up, and I will keep you on course. My love is what I wish to give only to you, with no regrets on how I did it and what I feel, because at the end of the day, you know that it's real.
Wow,
that is really, I mean, it's, I'm just speechless.
Wow.
That sounds, can you speak up for me, darling?
Oh, me?
No, Kim.
Oh, yeah,
I'm sitting over here like fanning and, you know, getting excited. But I had just wanted to ask Mr. Hayes a quick question.
All right.
But okay, Ms. Gayle.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Mr. Hayes, you have a very, very sexy voice. And I'm one of those type of women, I'm just crazy about a man with an accent.
All right.
You've been over in the States. Have you, you know, like had any experiences with other women pertaining to your voice or your accent, you know? How do other women respond when they hear you talk?
I've had a few experiences, you know, with being here, and, you know.
Such as?
Well, I got me stuttering. Wait a minute. But, no, one place I went to, you know, I go to the grocery store and, you know, I'm gal say, you know, I ask for something and she say, my friend want you to say her name. I say, what's her name? She say, Erica. I say, all right, hello, Erica. I say, wow, all right, okay. So, you know, it's a few other experiences, you know, that you know, I'm not going to get into, but, you know, it's something, you know. It's, you know, like people come to Jamaica and, you know, them talking. They be like, oh, say that again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, it's a few that I just be having a conversation with someone, or I be on a telephone and, you know, somebody overhear the conversation and they just be like, oh, really? Yeah, like that. So, like one lady, she had said, boy, you're going to make me go home and change my panties.
Oh, well.
All right, okay. You know, whatever you need to do, you do that. You
plain
know,
and simple.
So, but, you know, it's life, you know what I mean? But, you know, I am who I am, you know? I am who I am.
Yeah. Men with accents sort of like do something to me, too. You know, there's something about that accent. I'm curious. Yeah, something about those accents. I used to work in the hospital, and this guy named Hector, He was from Jamaica. I don't know if he was from Kingston or not, but his accent was so thick. It was so thick, so sometimes I couldn't really understand what he was saying, but I loved hearing him talk. And I would just be saying, yeah, sure, but then I would ask him, what did you say? He said, you don't understand what I'm saying. I said, slow down, Hector, just slow down.
Mess around and just say, okay, there's something you don't know what you're confirming, because you've been listening to that lick coming out of that.
So yeah. I also know another guy. He's from Kingston, Jamaica, and his accent is gone. But when he's with the other Jamaicans, he speaks patois. You speak patois too?
Yes, I do. I mean that's my first language. You know what I mean? You know, English being the one and a half. You know, you know, like a man, you say, him get around his people, you know, you won't be able to understand nothing a man say.
Why?
You know, it's something that a lot of Jamaicans do too. It's much easier for us to talk in a native tongue.
Right.
It's much easier, you know, so. Yeah,
how long did it take you to before you could learn English?
Well, once before I took like a 6 month class, you know, like I mean like a 10 hour day class, and for full 6 months, but in Jamaica we also, you know, Jamaica is we have English teachers, you know. English is also a language over there, you know. So you know, you're born, you know, you're born with a native tongue, but at the same time your parents can talk English to you, you know. So it's like it's almost like I see, it's one and a half. You know, the patois being your first language, and you know the American, I mean the English, is not even number two because it's right so close to patois.
Right.
So yeah, that's us, you know. And you know, I don't know why people. I mean, why? Let me ask you, is it other accents, other languages that you know that gets women hot and bothered?
Well, I really do love patois, and I do love the Jamaican accent. I love French accent, but Jamaican accent, it just does something to me.
I love.
Yeah, it's just something about it, you know, because I like I said, I had a friend, he's from Kingston, Jamaica, and his accent is gone, but like when he's around other Jamaicans, you know, he's talking that patois, and I'm just going, oh my God. It's just a turn on for me.
Wow.
You know, it's just a turn on. Yeah, so have you been back home since you've been here?
Since I've been here, I've been back. Well, recently I went about, let's say, back in January, I went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but a few times me, I go back yard and see, I mean, I go on good terms. You know, I went either for a sick family member or a funeral, you know. But far as like going back just for good vibes, no, it hasn't been. Hopefully, you know, my birthday, I want to go for my birthday.
Mm-hmm. So, when's your birthday?
New Year's Eve.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. You almost was a New Year's baby.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be a nice
wow.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And that would be really, you want to go Delicious?
Oh, I would love to go.
I'm saying I'll go for And say I'll go for yard and swim naked on the beach.
Oh, that's in hedonism, isn't it? Isn't that where they have the naked beaches?
Exactly.
Over in Jamaican hedonism?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've never been to Jamaica. I've been to the Bahamas, but
okay.
I've never been to Jamaica, and I definitely want to go to Jamaica, even if I go to hedonism, not to say that I'm going to be naked down there because I don't have that kind of body no more. You know,
I'm with you, Delicious. I'm with you.
All right, let me tell you though. But then saying in Jamaica, we don't discriminate. We like all shape, color, sizes. So don't even
and
worry
what
about
I,
that. Yeah.
That's what I love about Jamaican men. I love that because they do not, you know, want these pencil thin models, and you know, they love every type of body.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and especially the thick women. I noticed that the Jamaican men like thick women. Is that true?
That's true.
Break that damn. And I know I'm going to put in my letter to Santa Claus. Dear Santa, send me a Jamaican man who likes a thick woman.
I mean, you know, but at the same time, you know, we'll take them, you know, we'll take them, thin, or thick, you know, whatever, you know, just, and most Jamaican men were very passionate, you know, so.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
If that, you know, if that thin woman has a good heart, we'll love them unconditionally. If that thick woman has a good heart, we'll love them unconditionally, you know.
Right.
As far as the bedroom, and I say in a bedroom, no problem. We do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now let me say this, not putting down American men. It is certain things we do that American men won't do.
Right, because they're American men are just so stuck on, I don't know what they're stuck on, but they're just stuck on something that they need to get off, you know, because, and then they want us to do things that they don't want to do, you know, so I always say fair exchange ain't no robbery, but, you know, there are some things that, you know, I don't mind doing, you know, for my man regardless. But, you know, you just have some of these men that are just stuck on wanting what they want and then they don't want to reciprocate, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, don't be like that.
Yeah. I mean, you can read from my poetry. I have no, you know, it's no problem, you know, giving or receiving, let's just say it like that, you know. There's
right.
no problem with that. You know, like I say, face plant, take that. You know, so
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're laying down, and I'm holding your legs, and you feel like you're getting a little loose, and you're about to fall off the bed, just take control
mm-hmm.
of something. Just grab on my dreads, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Let me write that down too. Dear Santa, fuck that man. I want to ask Michael another question. It's a word that I've heard some Jamaican men use to describe a woman's heart. I just love that word, but you know, I want to hear someone, you know, I want to hear a native say that word. So
all right.
You
know
what I'm
talking
about?
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, say that word.
Me want to see you bend over again and say me lick pan your poon poon. Me want to lick pan your punani. Me not lick pan your punani.
Okay, don't
say me
okay.
want you.
Huh?
That
okay,
way word you look for. Poon poon, punani, where you look for.
Okay, don't keep saying it. Okay.
All right.
Don't say it no more. Don't say it. Got to open the freezer up. Don't say it no more.
I'm getting hot over here, too. Rhea, you all right?
I'm fine.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, this has been a wonderful, beautiful evening.
Yeah,
so we're going to take a break and come back, and we're going to get the closing remarks and get close to closing the show down. You got another poem you'd like to read for us when I come back, Mike? Because I'm
done. Yeah, I can do that for you. No problem. No problem. I can
okay,
do that.
Okay, so we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Okay, let me mute this.
Atlantic Star, Play Another Slow Jam. We're
one
back with our special guest this evening, Michael Hayes, my co-host Rhea, and my guest co-host Kim Produce Sims. Okay, Mike, you got another poem you'd like to read for us?
Yes, I do. I've selected this one just for you.
Oh,
just
thank
you.
All
right. This is called Waiting on You.
Ooh, okay.
Waiting on you to arrive. A plan a night filled with love and a special surprise. Candles are lit, lights down low. Come on in, baby, and just go with the flow. I, how are you? I'm glad you came. Let's go to the balcony with a glass of champagne. Sit back and relax and enjoy the rain. And let my hands absorb your pain. All on your back, strawberries on your chest. juices dripping down, let me lick them off your breast. Looking at your lips, I move in to kiss. Like a heat-seeking missile, I just can't miss. Knowing your body and loving you so much. I know what to rub and how soft to touch. I know what to lick, I know what to taste. I know how you feel when I look on your face. I know how you scream, I know how you dream. I know how many strokes it takes just to make you cream. I know you're my world, I know how to twirl. I know how to make your toes curl with one touch of your pearl. I know that you love, and I know that you feel. Everything I give to you is ever so real. So take your time as I remove your clothes. You feel my love from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. So this is the night that we light every star above. This is the night that we truly make love.
Whew. Wow. Ooh, wait a minute.
Oh, my goodness. Is everybody all right? Rhea and Kim, you girls okay over there?
Lord, can you come to my house tonight?
Woo! Now that's what I'm talking about. That is passion. That is so much passion until it's just unbelievable. And you know, like I said, a man who would be face to face. Just imagine your man in your face, and he's reciting these erotic, sensual, sexy, oh my goodness, soft poems in your face. With some candles lit, you know, around the bed or even in the bathtub or, you know, however you want to do that setting.
Sipping on some champagne while you enjoying the rain.
Champagne.
Two of my favorite things.
That's how it's supposed to be, man. Really, that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, Mike, give a shout out again as to how they can get your book.
All right. The first book, like me, I said, Poems in a Heart. You go to www.otterhouse.com. Romantic Nights will be available in October 2011. You can go to www.wix.com /writer of love/M Hayes. Hayes. Also, you can go to my fan page on Facebook, Writer of Loves, Romantic Nights. You know, check me out. Like I said, you go to my fan page. I'll be posting things all the time. I'll be posting, you know, and go ahead and become a fan because I'll be posting things that I won't be posting on my regular page. So, you know, some exclusive things that I'll just be doing for, you know, my fan page, just for my fans, you know. And also, I have a few giveaways in October. So, you know, become a fan.
And also, he's going to have, what book are you going to have on the CD?
Romantic Nights. So everything, you know, some the poems you heard tonight, the poems you read, and plus, you know, some that are 10 times better, 10 times deeper, 10 times hotter, 10 times wetter, you know, are going to be in the book. You know, so all that will be in Romantic Nights on the CD. You know, go to my website, you know, have a chance to win a personal, you know, just check out the website. You can have an opportunity to get a full body massage from me. You know, I'm certified, licensed, deep tissue, neuromuscular, Swedish, heat rocks, whatever you want, you know. So.
Wow. And
so
also the long T-shirt, Sleep With Me, is going to be on that long T-shirt.
Absolutely.
When is that going to be available?
That'll be available the same day the book drops.
Day
the book drop. So, matter of fact,
great timing for the winter months.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Everything will be available. Everything will be available before October 30th. Let me say that. October 30th.
Okay, you guys heard that. That's Michael Hayes.
The hot, erotic, sensual poet. And you can go to his website, www.authorhouse.com/Michael Hayes, Pouring from the Heart. And he also has a fan page on Facebook. That's Writers of Love Romantic Nights. That's on Facebook. And his website is www.wix.com/writer-of-love/M. Hayes.
Yes.
Okay. And he has a CD and a book and a long T-shirt that has one of his poems on it that I read earlier. So if you missed it, you may can he may post it on his page or. But when all this all his products come out, please support him. You will not regret it. Men, get this book so you can read some of these poems to your significant other, your girlfriend, your wife, or your mistress. But I'm not discriminating now. I'm not discriminating. You know, get his right. Get his books and his CDs and his long T-shirt, and you know, give him some support. That's Michael Hayes, the poet, the sensual, sexy, erotic. I just had a ball tonight, everybody, and I appreciate you guys for coming out. Kim, I appreciate you for coming out and co-hosting, being my guest co-host. Mike, anytime you want to come back, please do, and I will have you back once your books and everything hits the street in October, before the 30th of October. Next month is my birthday, as a matter of fact, October the 9th.
All right.
I'll be 62. Wait a minute, 62.
All right.
Whatever. Yeah, I'll be 62. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 62 years young, you know, and still going. So
my
birthday's
right.
Next month. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be having like a little birthday thing on Blog Talk. I may have it on my birthday. I think it's the 9th is on a Sunday. A Saturday, a Sunday,
Sunday.
Whatever day, I'm going to have something on Blog Talk Radio as far as my birthday. And next week is going to be slow jams, you know, when I play all the little slow songs and from back in the day and a few, you know, from present. But that's what's going on next Friday. And my musical shows generally start at 10:30 p.m. and they're on maybe for like an hour and a half. So if you guys want to stop by then, please do. And if you have any requests, you can call in. And if I have it, I'll be more than happy to play it. I'm serving a buffet, drinks, cyber style. So whatever you want on a buffet, just call it out. Get your drink on and... You know, we're going to have a good time. That's next Friday. And right. I haven't put up my October schedule yet, but I think October is Breast Cancer Month. So I am going to be doing a show with some people I knew that passed away from cancer. My mother, who passed away in 1995 from cancer, a girlfriend of mine who passed away from cancer this year, and a very dear friend of mine passed away from cancer this year, and another friend of mine passed away from cancer, I think a couple of years after my mom did, or even a couple of years before my mom did, but I'll be doing a show sometime in October, you know, dedicated to them. And, if anybody out there, you know, would like to be a guest on my show, you can inbox me on Blog Talk Radio, or you can send me an email to my email address, which is goldenlocks556@verizon.net. And, Rhea, you have any closing remarks?
Thank you. I enjoyed the show tonight.
Okay. Kim, do you?
I just want to thank you very much, Gail, for this opportunity. It was a whole lot of fun. I'll be tuning in, and I'll definitely be spreading the word about
mm-hmm.
your show. It was awesome. And I also want to thank Mr. Hayes for having me all hot and bothered over here. But I'll go take care of that.
Not a problem, man. Not a problem.
Yeah, well, I think he got everybody that was listening a little hot and bothered. So, Mike, you have any closing remarks you'd like to put out there?
Yeah, I just wanted to say a thank you to you, to your co-host. You know, I want to thank you all for participating. And you know, a big shout-out and a big blessing to everybody listening. You know, all me yard is lick me up, seeing, support me. You know, me a yardie, your yardie support me. Look for more.
Oh, okay. And I'm giving a shout-out to the chat room, DK Walker. Thanks for stopping by, Elizabeth Thunderbird, and Tammy Jones. Miss Kane was in the chat room, and a few others that were in the chat room, a couple of guests. I appreciate everybody who came out tonight. Also, Elizabeth, what you put in the chat room, that's good. Send me a... an email, or you can get in touch with Rhea and, you know, set it up like that, okay? And, you know, I do appreciate that. So with that being said, everybody have a beautiful weekend, and remember, never look down on a man unless you're trying to help him up. That's going to be my motto that I'll be leaving the show with, because, you know, there's so many people that are down and out, and people just walking by, just looking at them, and, you know, not even trying to help them up. You know, if, you know, you see somebody and they ask you, do you have some change, give it to them. You know, regardless of whatever they're going to do with it, you've done your part, you know. And just think of when people say things to you like that, just think, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm quite sure that he would reach out and, you know, love somebody, love everybody, and love yourself. With that being said, everybody, good night, and
good
thank
night.
You.
Good
night. Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.